Joining us now on Ute Talk is Christian Capel from the Tacoma News Tribune. Going to give us some insight into what to expect from Washington this coming weekend. Thanks for coming on today, Christian.
Yeah, thanks. You bet.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's just get straight to it. You know, it seemed coming into the season that the Pac-12 knew Washington, especially Pac-12 media, knew Washington was going to be good. But I don't think anyone expected them to be this good. How would you compare, you know, preseason expectations to what their expectations are now?
You know, I think before the season started, everybody knew that this was going to be a really good defense. They led the Pac-12 in scoring defense last year. Their pass defense especially was really good. They had two, you know, first team all league defensive backs and then Buda Baker and Sidney Jones. And, you know, they really liked what they had in Azeem Victor and Keyshawn Bieri at linebacker. And they were returning some guys on the D line who played really well. And, there really wasn't a lot of concern about that side of the ball. I think there was kind of a day one understanding that they were probably going to have the best defense in the league, or at least one of the best defenses in the league. But there were questions about the offense. You know, they kind of struggled last year. There were a lot of growing pains. They were really young. Jake Browning was starting as a true freshman and kind of finding his way. They were starting a couple freshman offensive linemen. They were pretty young in the receiver core. And aside from Miles Gaskin at running back, they really didn't return anyone at a skill position who had ever had a really productive college season. You know, everyone knew that they were getting John Ross back from injury and that he would be expected to be one of their best weapons. And, you know, he was fast and a playmaker, but had never really played a ton of receiver before. You know, they kind of, Dante Pettis had a solid sophomore year and had played some as a freshman, but still wasn't a guy who'd made a ton of plays. And so there were questions about receiver, questions about the offensive line, even though they did return a bunch of guys who played last year. That was kind of an issue last season and kind of where their youth maybe showed up the most, just in terms of their inability at times to protect the passer. So I think that everyone kind of figured before the season started that their success as a team would be dictated by, you know, how much growth that they kind of saw from their offense from last year and how much those guys came along and how much they could get out of their offensive line and their receivers especially. And they really couldn't have responded any better. I mean, they look like they're protecting the passer a lot better than they were a year ago. Those guys are bigger. They're more athletic up front. You know, obviously, Dante Pettis and John Ross have proven to be one of the best receiving duos in the league after, you know, those guys hurt all spring and camp. You know, how are their receivers going to be? How are their receivers going to be? So they've stepped up and they've really gotten production out of every position that you could have considered a question mark during the offseason. And I think that's kind of propelled them from a team that a lot of people, you know, even before the season started, I think I predicted they'd go 9-3. So I still thought that they would be a really solid Pac-12 team and that the strength would kind of be their defense. But they've really shown up on both sides of the ball in a way that I don't know a lot of people anticipated.
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite impressive from an outsider's perspective myself, and especially it seems, you know, I'm going to draw the line now. It kind of seems somewhat familiar to what Utah fans saw out of Utah last year. Is everyone knew Devontae Booker was going to be good, and they knew the defense was going to be good, and that's what happened. But they really got on the map, per se, when they really took it to Oregon last season. And it seems like the win over Stanford kind of did the same thing for Washington. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that was the game that everybody kind of circled. You know, the day that the schedules were announced really was, hey, this is a Washington team that the perception is they're going to be pretty good. And they start the season by playing Rutgers, Idaho, and Portland State at home. Then they go play a game at Arizona, which is obviously a team that not many people thought would be very good this year. And then that's proven to be true. And so you look at that schedule and you thought, okay, they better be 4-0 going into that Stanford game. They should be 4-0 going into that Stanford game. And then that Stanford game will kind of be the barometer of how they really arrived. And, you know, they go out in before a sold out crowd on a national television audience on a Friday night and beat them 44-6. And after that, it was kind of like, whoa, okay, these guys just kind of dominated the Pac-12 bully. So, you know, they kind of became the hunted after that, so to speak. But, you know, and since then, that win has definitely lost a little bit of shine just because, you know, Stanford got blown out by Wazoo and they lost last week to Colorado, and they're obviously not the Stanford of old, but I think the significance in the moment, at least, was still there, and they still kind of, that was definitely a statement game, just in the sense of, you know, hey, maybe Stanford's down, but as far as what we'd seen to that point through 5 weeks, there was no question that Washington looked like the best team in the league.
Yeah, it's been, you know, once again, outsider's perspective, really impressive. You know, Washington seems to be, you know, looks like they're going to be the most balanced team that Utah will have faced this season. And, you know, as I was looking at the stats, specifically just Pac-12 ranking, you know, Washington's rushing offense is number two in the Pac-12. Utah's rushing defense is number three. I mean, how do you see that battle of the trenches going out, since it looks like it's strength against strength?
Yeah, you know, I think Chris Peterson's offense is always going to, you know, he's never going to be satisfied if they're not throwing the ball really well and making some big explosive plays through the passing game. But in his 3 years here at Washington now, they've kind of established that they want to establish that run game. And, you know, when things maybe aren't going so well, or they aren't executing as well, or if they get, you know, a touchdown or two touchdown lead, they really like to go into that, give it to Gaskin, line up, run some power, you know, get creative with some other ways to get Gaskin and LeVon Coleman the ball and really kind of assert their dominance physically and take it to the defense and try to put together some clock chewing drives. And I don't think that's a whole lot different than what Utah wants to do offensively too. I think they are kind of similar styles that way, but yeah, you know, I don't know that they've seen a run defense as tough as Utah's. I think Stanford had some pretty good athletes there, although they were a little depleted defensively in that game. And obviously Oregon and Oregon State don't defend the run particularly well. So it will be a challenge. It'll definitely be the biggest challenge that they've faced as an offense going on the road, for sure.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, they've gotten leads and then tried to chew down some clock. Are they getting a lot of this rushing offense from, you know, games that they've really kind of got in control already?
Not necessarily. You know, and when they do that, usually they're going to their backups and, you know, those kind of things. They actually, if you kind of look at their breakdown by quarter, they're outscoring opponents like 224 in the first half, I think. And so in the second half of some of those blowouts, they've taken their foot off the gas a little bit, with the exception of the Oregon game. But, you know, that's just they're an offense that wants to establish the run first. They're going to be a lot better throwing the ball and running play action and letting Jake Browning kind of sit back and have time to see the field and find an open receiver if that threat of the run is there. So, you know, I think that's kind of part of their DNA as an offense, is, hey, let's get the ball to Myles Gaskin 15 to 20 times and kind of set the offense up from there.
Okay. I mean, then would you say that Utah's best bet will be, if they can slow down Gaskin, that they're going to have a much better likelihood of winning this game?
Sorry, I think you cut out.
Oh, I apologize. I was just saying, with Washington being such a run first, you know, establish the run offense, if Utah can continue to be the run stopping defense that they've been, would you actually start to whittle down maybe the 10.5-point spread that Vegas has given Washington at this point?
Yeah, you know, if they can keep Washington from really moving the ball on first down and get them in, you know, some second and long and especially third and long situations where they can kind of pin their ears back and come after Jake Browning a little bit. I know Utah's got some like 20 sacks this year, and they're up there in the country in that category, and they lead the country in takeaways, and they're tied for the national lead in interceptions. So, I mean, as often as they can get Washington in obvious passing downs, as good as Jake Browning has been this year and as good as Washington's pass offense has been this year, Utah's best bet is still to get them in situations where it is an obvious passing down, and they know that they can kind of gear up for that and maybe get enough pressure on Browning to force him to make some uncharacteristic mistakes.
Okay. Well, the other, you know, another question, you know, a lot of people will pick games based on the Battle of the Trenches, and right now I'd say I would grade Washington's O-line versus Utah's D-line, you know, strength versus strength is kind of a wash. But, you know, we found out that Joe Mathis is injured for the Washington offensive line. Do you feel that that might be giving – or for the defensive line, excuse me, do you think that might, you know, sway the Battle of the Trenches going the other way?
No, I don't think so. I still think, you know, even without Mathis, Washington probably has one of the best defensive lines in the league. You know, he plays that hybrid buck linebacker, outside linebacker, edge rusher type position. And on the interior, you know, they still have Elijah Qualls and Greg Gaines and Vita Vea in there, three guys who go about 320 to 330 each and are athletic, and they move Elijah Qualls all over the place. And you know, those guys have been pretty tough against the run this year. I think they're like 35th in the country and yards per carry allowed. So, you know, Mathis, it certainly hurts their pass rush. You know, he's their top pass rusher. He's got 5 sacks this season. And so, losing him certainly hurts. I don't know how much it hurts in the, you know, necessarily in that battle of the trenches in the run game, but, I think it definitely is a loss as far as trying to rush the passer.
Okay. I mean, is there some other, you know, outside of him being out, is there someone else that the youths really need to be concerned about when it comes to the Washington defense? Maybe a player that Utah fans haven't really heard of?
Yeah, you know, the Huskies are a pretty well-balanced team throughout that defense. You know, I think a guy like Keyshawn Bieria, who I think leads them in tackles right now, or his first or second on the team in tackles, last I checked, was leading the country in fumble recoveries with 5. He's just, you know, he's a guy who's always around the ball. He's a hard hitter. You know, he's a fourth-year junior, so he's been in Pete Kwiatkowski's defensive scheme for the whole time, all 3 years that he's been at Washington now, and just a guy who gets it and really kind of the heart and soul of that defense at linebacker. Him and Azeem Victor, I think, are going to be essential for them trying to slow down Joe Williams this week. So I'd say – you know, maybe it's hard to say he's an unheralded guy, but Keyshawn Bieria has been a guy who's just really showed up this year as being maybe their most consistent, productive player on that side of the ball.
Okay. Well, you know, I like getting the X-factor players, mainly for my own knowledge, but who would you expect on the offensive side then? I mean, I think everyone's heard of Ross and Pettis and Gaskin and of course, who is turning out to be a Heisman candidate in Browning, but who's that X factor that might show up on offense as well?
You know, a guy who had his best game of his college career so far last week against Oregon State was a true freshman receiver named Aaron Fuller, a guy they recruited out of Texas who played his way into the depth during camp, and it's just kind of a really solid fundamental guy who picked up their system quickly. You know, he had 4 catches for 40 some yards last week and caught a 19 yard touchdown. He's already caught a couple touchdown passes. You know, he's not on the field a ton. You're not going to see him playing every snap. But he does, you know, they will line him up in the backfield sometimes and he'll run routes out that way. And, he's just kind of an interesting player for them who, you know, had a position that was really kind of considered a question mark before the year. I don't know that anyone really knew as far as the true freshmen who were coming in. I don't think anyone really knew who was going to make an impact or whether he'd be able to see the field this year. But he's the only guy out of that group who's playing as a true freshman, and he's been pretty productive for them so far when he's been on the field. So maybe you'll see some more of Aaron Fuller on Saturday.
All right. Well, you know, I know you're busy. You got some articles to write after having some media availability. But what would you say, if you had to pick 3 keys to the game, what would you make them?
Well, for Washington, I would say limit the big play. You know, I know Joe Williams had 3 touchdown runs longer than 43 yards last week against UCLA, and it kind of went off that way. So, and then, you know, really that's been the only time that the defense has kind of – the offenses have been able to kind of break them is when they hit big plays. They gave up a couple at Arizona, and they gave up a 75-yard touchdown run to Oregon State last week. So, you know, if they can limit the big plays offensively, I think that would be a big key. A second would just be slowing down Joe Williams. I mean, shooting the two games he's played since he's come back from retirement, he went for, what, 179 and 332 or something crazy like that. And so, you know, bottling him up and making sure that he's, you know, not as efficient, certainly, as he was against Oregon State and UCLA would be another key. And I would say just continue doing what they've been doing offensively. You know, move the ball on first down, get the ball in Miles Gaskin's hands and let him move the chains a little bit. Make sure that they're in, you know, second and five, second and six instead of second and 10 and not get stuck behind the chains and kind of let Jake Browning operate from a position where he's got the advantage and not where the defense is able to kind of pin their ears back and know he's throwing the ball.
All right. Well, I know most beat writers don't, but I'll ask anyway. Do you have a prediction for the game?
Yeah, I make a prediction each week on Friday before the game. I haven't sat down and formulated it yet. But you know, I do think this is a game Washington wins just from watching Utah this year and kind of looking at their numbers. And, I think that, you know, they've done a really good job of finding a way to win games, finding a way to win close games. And, you know, Troy Williams has led them on a couple of really gutsy drives, especially the game winning touchdown drive against USC, and they've kind of gotten it done when they've had to. But I just think Washington is just going to be a little too much for them on offense and defensively as well. Like, the Huskies are just by far the best team that they've seen this year, and it should be a fun atmosphere at Rice-Eccles Stadium. I don't know that I'll pick Washington to cover a 10.5 or 11-point spread, but I do think I'll probably end up picking Washington in this one.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us today, Christian. Do you want to give out maybe your Twitter handle or where people can find you to get the latest on Washington as we prepare for this game when game day is going to be in town?
Yeah, my Twitter handle is just my first and last name, at Christian Capel, ChristianCaple. So you can find it all right there.
All right. Thanks, Christian. You have a good one.
All right. Thanks. You too.